Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today is our Prophecy Reality News Live Edition. And I want to thank the few people that have showed up in the chat room. If you're listening live on First Amendment Radio right now, you can come on over, and right now would be about 9 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesday. Otherwise, it's a rebroadcast. Just keep listening. But we would like to see your presence in the chat room. You may call in. You may pose questions in the chat room, any of those things, and participate in the program to your heart's content. There's a call-in number there on the screen, so if you get a notion during the broadcast to call in on some topic we're talking about or not, the number's there anyway, just in case. Okay, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I'm going to look at the news, and there's not a whole lot going on here. I mean, absolutely nothing new on the Israel front and the temple thing. Just they're looking to move the embassy and then start building the temple. So we see that it's the calm before the storm, perhaps. And the storm is when that temple is built. And I wrote a book about it. It's called When the Third Temple is Built. And I've got a few people. How many have read my book yet, When the Third Temple is Built? It's really difficult to read. It's only 110 pages or something. Yeah, something is 112 pages. Real simple to read, but it's powerfully packed. And it gives you an idea of when the temple is going, I mean, what's going to happen when the third temple is built, why it's going to happen, and why we believe those things according to the scripture. Okay? What else are we going to talk about today? Whatever you guys want to talk about. Because I do have a topic I wanted to, and I'm going to do this later, perhaps in the next session. Let's see. My topic, let me look it up here. I've got a name for it. I've got it written down. Practical use of the book of Revelation. And I guess we could just open our conversation with that. How many of you believe that there is a practical use for the book of Revelation? Well, I found some lectures by H. Grattan Guinness on the practical use of the apocalypse. And I wanted to go through those on the air because I thought, you know, most people, when they pick up the Bible and they look at the book of Revelation, it's, you know, it speaks to them, but for the most part, with all of the symbolic language in there, they can't, it becomes a jumbled mess of incoherence. To put it plainly, because they don't understand what the symbols apply to. And I found this practical use of the book of Revelation, and I'm going to start publishing this on my blog. He has, let's see, what do we have here? Well, so far we've got seven. He has enumerated seven uses of the practical use, and the first one is the primary practical object of the apocalypse is to guide the church victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's one reason that God gave us the book of Revelation. That is a practical use for it. The second one is, the second great practical use of the apocalypse or the book of Revelation lay in the aid which it rendered to the preservation of true Christianity. And enumerated third is a third great practical use of the apocalypse lay in its justification and support of the Reformation. Believe it or not, you talk to the futurists and they don't even see the Reformation in the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, that is so unimportant that Scott skipped over 1800 years and jumped right to the end and only talks about the last 7 years. So all of the calamity and disaster and floods and judgments are all scheduled according to the futurist counter-reformation view. They're all waiting for that last juxtapose pseudo 70th week of Daniel. Of course, we all know how to count. And what number comes after 69? Anybody have a clue? What number comes after 69? See, if you count, say 66, 67, 68, 69, and then we wait 1800, 1900 years before we say 70. And you get this how from the scripture? Of course, I'm speaking of Daniel's 70 weeks. Well, that's not in the scripture. That's what was made up to uphold the Counter-Reformation view of an end-time Antichrist. We're going to relegate the Antichrist of Scripture to the very end, to the very last 7 years of history before Jesus returns. All you Protestant evangelicals out there. And so the Pope, see, and that, this is the whole reason, is because we cannot have you believing that the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist and that the book of Revelation reveals this fact to us. And that in the pages of the Revelation, you can see the entire history of the church, which John said of the things which were shown to him that he wrote faithfully, transmitted this message from the Spirit, and the Spirit said that these things must shortly come to pass. That means that they must start almost immediately. That was the message. That's what the revelation of Jesus Christ revealed to John and to us, and he faithfully recorded in that book that those things would shortly come to pass, shortly in their commencement, they would start. Okay? So, but not so, see, because in this book is revealed the entire history of the Christian church from the time that it was written, from the time that John delivered seven messages to the seven churches which were in Asia, and that message, the message that he delivered to them, was a message that applies to all the churches of all times. There is something to be said in each one of those messages to each of us. And those promises are fulfilled as we see throughout the Revelation. But he said, the things which are, that was the seven churches, the letter to the seven churches, and the things which must shortly come to pass. And that in their commencement, they began to come to pass. And that's what's revealed in a simple book like this. The Last Prophecy. Yeah, see it? Hori Apocalyptica 2015. This is the abridgment of E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalyptica. This book, this little pocketbook, 320 pages, you can pick up for $10.99 at Lulu Press. Okay? Go to my Get the Book page, scroll down to the bottom, and, hit the link at the bottom there. Let me put that on the screen so you can all see it there. And you're going to want to get my latest book. That's this book here, When the Third Temple is Built. You can get it free. Freely I have received, freely I give. If you want a printed copy, you're going to have to pay for it, though. But you can get it free. Just follow the instructions on this free ebook tab here. See it there? Click on that, follow instructions, you can get a free e-copy of any of these four books here. But these are all available in a, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, here it is. Save with Pocketbook Addictions here. So if you click on that, it'll open up a new tab there and it'll go to our cross-border publishing, Protestant Historicists. That's all the room they would let me put up on that page. But there you'll see it right at the top are the pocketbook, and make sure it says pocketbook here in the description. Otherwise, you'll be buying the trade publication, which is the bigger one here. You know, the big one, the 6x9, costs a little more money, but you got to have that to get into bookstores like Barnes & Noble and Amazon. But these you can only get here or from me. So you can send a donation to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Ask for the four. I'll send all four of these to you for a flat, well, $40 donation to First Amendment Radio. That's not really a donation. You're mostly paying for the books. But or you can order them right there at the, and I suggest order them there at the spa, the author spotlight, or you can send a check or money order or cash to First Amendment Radio. Say, I want the four pocketbooks or one of whichever you want. But there it is right there. Horae Apocalypticae 2015. I think it says $10.99 somewhere. Oops. There it is. $10 if you click on it. And then you can press add to cart and you can purchase it there somehow. But if you're like me and you don't have personal credit cards, I just, you know, which I don't have. I don't even have a bank account in my own name. So, you can send it, you can send a check, cash, money order, gold, silver to First Amendment Radio. Go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, press on the support button and follow the link to support by postal mail. Okay? And then we can send you anything you want from that. But there it is. The pocketbooks edition. So you can get all of these for about $40. What a deal. And I think it all comes to this right under $40. Then you got to pay a little bit of shipping. I think maybe $7 shipping or something. But you should have all of these in your library. These two to battle the rapture and give you all the ammunition you need to battle the rapture there. And of course, this to understand what the apocalypse, the book of Revelation. You have The Key to the Apocalypse by H. Grant Hand Guinness, and you have The Last Prophecy, Horae Apocalypticae 2015, which is the updated abridgment of E.B. Eliot's 2,500-page, four-volume work, the most elaborate work ever done on the book of Revelation at any time in history, and probably the most elaborate thing that will ever be done on the book of Revelation until Christ comes. But there you have an abridged version, and you can take it in bite-sized chunks. I tell you, it is a bit of work to go through the four volumes of the Horae Apocalypticae. So finding this, The Last Prophecy, that abridgment was like finding, you know, a rare treasure, a valuable thing. It's like refined gold, if you will. But anyway. So, like I said, I'm going to be going through, practical use of the Book of Revelation or the Apocalypse and these, series of lectures done by H. Grant Hand Guinness. And I'm going to post the first one later this week. Okay, and so, like I said, the third great practical use of the apocalypse lay in its justification and support of the Reformation. No, the book of Revelation did not overleap the entire history of the Christian church. Those things shortly came to pass, just as the scripture says, just as the Spirit of God, as Jesus. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, our King, our Messiah, our Master. Yes, our Redeemer. The one who loved us. Yes, he didn't skip over and he didn't lie. Don't believe the Counter-Reformation futurist lie of the juxtaposed Daniel 70th week of the 7-year great tribulation deception. Like I said, get my books, you know, if you want a primer on it, These are the two books you need. The rapture will be canceled and when the third temple is built. You've got to get those books. And there's no excuse. They're absolutely free. And if you're a regular listener of mine, you listen to other broadcasts, you know, post my books. There's posts on my website or the Get the Book page or the free ebook page. Post a link to these other places and talk to these other hosts. Say, you gotta interview this guy about his book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. This needs to get out so that the elect can get this message. We can wake them up. Because, you know, sitting here thinking about these things and pondering these things, I realized that this is the fact. The fact is this, that most of God's elect sincerely believe in the futurist counter-reformation lie of the rapture in one or all of its forms. You know, the three raptures, there's pre, mid, and post-tribulation, all based upon a fallacy of a juxtaposed 70th week of Daniel. Well, 70 follows 69, just like 69 follows 68. And all the way back, each week, there's no gaps in any of them, or there's a gap in all of them. No, there's no space between the numbers. One comes right after the other. They are always contiguous. There's nothing in the text, nothing in the entire book of Daniel, nothing in the Old Testament or the New Testament, anywhere in the entire Bible that authorizes putting a gap of time between the 69th and the 70th week. Got my old video I published many years ago. Still haven't got Chuck Missler to step up to the plate and show me where is the gap. He even admitted, you would think by the plain reading of the text, well, Chuck, duh. The plain reading of the text, he went on to say, you would think by the plain reading of the text that the 70 weeks are contiguous, and they are, unquote. And then he adds, he digresses, except for the last, the 70th week. There is an interval in the text, but he fails to mention where in the text. He says it's explicit, it's express. I'm sorry, Chuck Missler. You need to step up and show us where this expressed, explicit gap in the text is. It is not there. That's a lie. You may be deceived. And, you know, God's Word said we are to believe the best. So the best I can believe about Chuck Missler's declaration that it is expressed and explicit in the text is that he is deceived, that he sees something, he is deluded, that he is a sincerely deluded man. See, because we are taught to believe the best. So that's the best I can believe about that situation. And it's no wonder. I'm sure he's seen my video by now. It's been years. You know, come on, show me the gap, Chuck. I would have seen it if Chuck said, I'm showing you the gap, Nicholas. You know? Yeah. He's seen the video. He's just not going to respond. Well, take it to him if you know him. Because like I said, I believe the best. Yes. And I've explained that. Okay. The third great practical use of the apocalypse lay in its justification and support of the Reformation. Fourth, the practical use of the apocalypse in the present day as casting light upon the whole course of Christian history, revealing the plan of providence and confirming faith amid the assault of modern skepticism. I might as well have just said that. My little discourse there for you. Number five. The use of the apocalypse in setting and keeping before the church from age to age the ever-brightening hope of the coming and kingdom of Christ. And that's as far as I've got in my, So I'm going to start posting those, like I said, maybe one a week from here out, those practical use of the apocalypse. So watch it. And I'm going to actually read the first one here after this upcoming break. Let's see. Let me check the chat room here and see what's going on. Let's see. Okay. Good morning, James and Dale and Golden Eagle. Drop the E in golden and it'll fit. let's see. The Messiah will reign in the flesh or just in spirit? Oh, that's a question mark, and that's a good question. Well, see, now here's the whole thing about that, is the Jesuit Ribera, he invented the end-time Antichrist, of course, in about 1500, to take the onus off of, because, you know, the reformers were pointing at the papacy and saying, the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist, and this Jesuit Ribera says, well, I got an answer for that. He ain't the Antichrist. See, the whole revelation overleaps time to the end, and everything is going to happen at the end when the Antichrist is revealed. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. That was added later. They just kept building on this foundation that was laid by Ribera. See everything. Okay. Thought I heard something here. And, but see, the Catholics don't even believe in the return, the physical bodily return of Christ to reign on the earth for a millennium. Clearly taught by Daniel in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and that dream and interpretation was given to Daniel by the Spirit. And then it clearly revealed in the Revelation that Jesus will return and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years, confirming what Daniel foretold. So Jesus will physically, bodily return, and those of us who belong to him, that are walking in his kingdom, and those that were walking in his kingdom when their mortality ended, because you have to be there to go there, that preceded us in the grave, they will be resurrected. And whoever's alive, like if I'm alive at the time, you're alive at the time, we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be caught up together to meet him in the air. And we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the promise in Revelation. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from these messages. Go not anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality News Edition, and I hope you're hearing some news, perhaps things that are new to you if you're a new listener, or you're being built up and edified about the times we're living in and our hope, the great hope that God has revealed through His Word for His church, and especially in these days. Let's see. Oh, yes, I was looking at a question in the chat room. Will the Messiah reign in the flesh or just in the spirit? Well, Jesus reigns in the spirit right now. Yeah, he does. And he has been ruling and reigning in the spirit for the last 1900, 2000 years. Okay? But he will return bodily, physically. Now, those that develop the futurist end-time Antichrist scenario, birthed by the Jesuit Ribera, the Counter-Reformation eschatological scheme, not because the Catholics or that the Roman Church believes it, but because they want Protestant evangelicals to believe it. Because if you believe in the end-time Antichrist, guess what you don't believe? You don't believe that the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist. You're no longer a Protestant. Once you give up that belief, once you do not believe, if you believe in an end-time Antichrist scenario put forth by Ribera, which foundation has been built upon by many evangelicals, so-called Protestants, not really Protestants, because they're no longer protesting. Yeah, their witness against the Antichrist is dead. They don't even know Antichrist. And they believe that when he does show up, they, with the Holy Spirit, are going to be taken out of the world. So what do they have to do with Antichrist? Absolutely nothing. Nothing to protest, absolutely nothing to do, except tell people about the rapture so they could all be disappointed and fall into the Antichrist trap. Yes, this is a trap set by Satan, who gives his power to the beast. And right now, yes, that whore is riding the beast. And they want you to believe that lie. Because when the raptures don't happen, and they will not... See, don't mistake it. When I say rapture, I'm not talking about resurrection. I open the pages of my Bible, and I do find the resurrection. I find it everywhere. But the raptures I find nowhere. Nowhere at all. But see, the evangelical mind, the Protestant mind, has become so deluded, so mind-controlled, so reprogrammed with the rapture, that when they hear the word rapture, they think resurrection. And if you talk against the rapture, if you try to expose the rapture and say something like, the raptures will be canceled, they think, oh, he doesn't believe in the resurrection. But that's a lie. I do believe in the resurrection. Just not on the rapture calendar put forth by those who have built upon the Counter-Reformation eschatology of the Jesuit Ribera. This is all historical fact, what I'm telling you. Where it began and how it's been built is all part of history. And the raptures will not happen, but the resurrection will happen. And when they start building the temple, that's why I wrote this book, when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. We will all be here, because it seems like it's going to happen. Well, it may happen. They may start building this temple within the next 4 years. I believe that we're close. And when they start building it, no one's raptured, then maybe people will, the elect will start to pay attention. Maybe then the elect will awake from their slumber. Maybe the scales will fall from their eyes and they'll see the Antichrist for who he really is. He's been in plain sight all along. He is the biblical and historical Antichrist exposed by the scripture. And Golden Eagle, you got another name, Golden Eagle? he said, are you a practical preterist? He's asking James. I'm not sure James has studied into preterism yet. Okay. Now I have. I've studied into preterism. Ran into preterism almost 20 years ago. Rejected it outright. Now, what does preterism mean? It means it refers to the past. And I call them hyper-preterists because you have to kind of, there's hyper-preterists. They believe all prophecy was fulfilled in 70 AD. And of course, I don't believe that. I believe that the prophecy that was fulfilled in 70 AD was fulfilled in 70 AD. The prophecy has been unfolding throughout history. It's been fulfilling ever since the first prophecy was given. History has been unfolding and revealing in it the prophecy that foretold it. So prophecy unfolds in history. So some of prophecy is foretold. Like, how many prophecies of the rebuilding of the temple were there before the temple was rebuilt? Before the second temple, yeah. And there has been no third temple. That's why my book title says, when the third temple is built. So they've only had the temple built twice. Of course, it was refurbished by the Roman, what's his name? Can't think of his name. Herod, that's right, Herod's temple. They called it Herod's temple, but it was really the second temple which he refurbished. So, but how many prophecies of the rebuilding of the temple were given before the second temple was rebuilt? Many. And they were all fulfilled. And then there was a prophecy of the 70 weeks. Guess what? That's past. The 70 weeks are past. That's right. One right after the number, 490 years fulfilled in history to the letter. Get my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, and you can read all about it. Okay? And like I said, get it free, Golden Eagle. Go to my Get the Book page and follow the instructions there and ask for one of those books. I would get The Rapture Will Be Canceled first. Or you can say, I want When the Third Temple is Built, whichever one you want first of those four books. I'm willing to give them to you. Absolutely free. All you got to do is share that page on your whatever, Facebook or email it to something, or call your neighbor and tell them about it. I don't care how you share it. I just say, I shared it. And of course, you have to subscribe to my blog. It's very little to ask. And I will give you a free copy of any of those books that you want. And I would, like I said, I would suggest The Rapture Will Be Canceled first. And then to get another copy of another one, you have to write a review on Amazon or somewhere else. You could even write one on, I don't know. Amazon's the most popular for reviews. That's where I go for reviews. If I want to read book reviews, is to Amazon. So that's what I ask people to do if they want a copy. Like, say if you already have The Rapture Will Be Canceled, and say you want this one, now you got to write a review for The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And then you go on my Get the Book page and you write, I wrote a review on Amazon. Here's the link. And because that's easy to give me a link to. And then I'll send you a free e-copy of whatever book you want. Okay, enough about that. Boy, it looks like this hour is just flying by. Let's see if we got any other questions. Let's see. Yes. So we're all partial preterists, you know. If you're not a partial preterist, then you don't really believe in prophecy at all, because nothing has been fulfilled. So that's how we would define partial preterists. Even the so-called futurists are partial preterists, because there were many prophecies about the Messiah, Jesus coming and showing up on the scene and laying down his life and all of that. If that's been fulfilled, do you believe that's past? Well, I do. So see, we're all partial preterists. But I am a historicist, if I have to put a label on the methodology of interpreting prophecy that I hold to, would be historicist. I'm a Protestant historicist. And because I'm protesting the mark of the beast, I am protesting Antichrist. I recognize who he is. And if you want to understand that, this is the book. Yes, Key to the Apocalypse. You got to get this. Little handbook, little pocketbook. Just get it. And it'll give you an understanding. Like, it will open your eyes that you'll undeniably recognize the place of Rome and Babylon in the Apocalypse. Undeniably exposed there for you. That's why I published it. So you could understand that. That, with this companion, Horae Apocalypticae 2015, The Last Prophecy, get that one too. And that walks you through the history as it's revealed in prophecy. And I guess next segment I'm going to recite that lecture for you that I promised. So you'll want to stick around for that. And of course that lecture is Practical Use of the Book of Revelation. And I'll tell you, I have been intensely studying it, reading a lot of different stuff, pro, con, things I agree with, I don't agree. I read it if I don't agree with it. I've read things that I didn't agree with and then changed my mind. That can happen. Yeah. Like a lot of stuff that H. Grant Tangenis, you know, he's done two of my favorite books by H. Grant Tangenis. Is my very favorite is Romanism and the Reformation. And everyone should read this book. Oh, yeah. I don't even publish this book, but you can find it. You can see here it is, trade publication put out by Heartland Publications. And I'm thinking about doing a publication because it is public domain. I'm thinking about publishing it myself for my library of books. But get it, buy it from Heartland Publications if you have to, Romanism and the Reformation. I also have a link to an EPUB version on my website. And in that you have The Woman Who Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt, Footprints of the Jesuits, which Tom Fresh just went through. Go to inquisitionupdate.org and scroll down a little bit. You'll see you can follow Tom Fresh's 98 sessions, installments of Footprints of the Jesuits. Excellently done. Just finished that up. Tom joined us live, starting a new work yesterday, and we haven't posted that on his website yet, but we'll get to that. A very busy man here, everyone's abandoned me here, so I'm here all by myself doing everything, and I just, you know, I keep falling further behind, and I feel like the Spirit is telling me to do more things, so I know that God's gonna have to send the people that are willing to do the more things. But anyway, in this directory you'll find, History of Protestantism, three volumes there. History Unveiling Prophecy by H. Grant Tangenis. Horae Apocalypticae, the four original volumes there. Romanism and the Reformation, there it is. And Rulers of Evil. And these are the two I suggest, the very bottom ones. You should read those first. Because they're both shorter, and so you could read them all, you can read it all. And, they'll set you straight on a lot of things. Rulers of Evil, everyone, there is not enough out there about this. It's like F. Tupper Saucy did the only work on this genre. But what F. Tupper Saucy reveals in Rulers of Evil is what I believe is exposed in Revelation chapter 13. And I talk about that a little bit in my book, my latest book, When the Third Temple is Built. So you definitely want to get that there. And I also reference F. Tupper Saucy in my other book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. So everyone, read those two, Romanism and the Reformation and Rulers of Evil, plus the other four books. And you cannot buy F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. It's out of publication, and the owners of the copyright are not republishing it. It is a damning book to Rome. It is a very damning book, and F. Tupper Saucy is dead now, and it's very sad that I forget who owns one of the big printing houses, of course, controlled probably by the Jesuits, own the copyright. They're not republishing it. But there it is in PDF, and so we do have it in a PDF version. You must read this book. I think he goes off at a little tangent on the last chapter or so about this Cain thing. But other than that, spot on. Absolutely wonderful. And like I said, and I'll tell you what I meant by that he exposes what is meant by the earth beast that comes up, the beast that comes up out of the earth in Revelation chapter 13, having two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. And of course, two opposing powers in this last beast that rises up. And I believe it has exposed that these two powers, how they oppose each other. And F. Tupper Saucy does a good job of exposing the hidden secret power in the establishment of the United States of America under the Constitution and the establishment of Washington, D.C., a foothold in the New World for the Vatican, the last of the three cities of the empire of the unholy Trinity that rules the world. So everyone must read that book, Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Saucy. And I'll put a direct link to that in the chat room too. You've got to get this. Everyone must read this book. And there it is right there. That last link is a direct link to it. Okay. Any other comments, questions you want to post in the chat room there, anybody? I'm going to do it next one because I want to post it as a series, the practical use of the Book of Revelation, because most people do not believe that it has any practical use for them. You know, beyond the seven letters to the churches, it's mostly just a lot of symbolic mumble jumble. And it is if you don't know history. And that's what I've been learning. I've been learning history by studying up on the all of the historicist writings of the Book of Revelation, the Hori Apocalypticae, History Unveiling Prophecy, and of course the Last Prophecy, Hori Apocalypticae. So there's and I'm going to keep preaching it here, even if I'm the only one or one of the few on the internet. And I know it's not popular. I know I'm not going to get notoriety in the world, but I don't care. You know, I have to do what God wants me to do. I have to do what the Spirit has called me to do, even if I do it in obscurity. And as I said before, I'll say it again, that I don't really need to get big and become real popular to move beyond. I just need to duplicate. I think there should be 10,000 more people like me saying the things that I'm saying. That's what I think. Rather than me doing 10,000, having a reach 10,000 times the size of the small reach that I have, I would rather that there are 10,000 more just like me preaching the historicist Protestant message for these last days. Oh, we got more questions in here. Let's see. What would a good and a loving way to open truth to someone who's immersed in the gap theory? I'm struggling for a way that won't throw up their defenses and let them at least be willing to listen. And okay, Cindy in the chat room asked that question, and I'm guessing she's asking me. And what I'm going to say, Cindy, is this book here, that's why I wrote this book. And that's why I would say to reach those people before you give them the rapture will be canceled, because that's a little blunt, you know. That's why I wrote this book. It's only 100 pages or 112 pages, and I do have a pocketbook edition. And Cindy, if you want to give this book away, email me, go to the contact page, and you can or comment there and leave or subscribe to my blog first, so I have a way to contact you. And if you want to get a case of these, I think they're like about $2.50 each to get this book in this size edition. I don't have one with me because I shipped them out. I had a bunch and I shipped them out. But I can get you a case of these, like 100 for, or you know, whatever if you want. Let's say you have $100 to spend. That'll get you like 25 of them approximately with shipping, you know, that you can give away. The other thing to do is, once you subscribe to my blog for the free ebook, you'll have a link and share it with your friends. They can read it for free. You know, that's, like I said, that's why I wrote this book, just for people, to reach people, that the people you're speaking about, the people that you want to reach, this when the third temple is built. They'll be interested. They'll go, oh, yeah, I wanted the title to pique their interest. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. They're going to be curious. They're going to read it. And some of them are going to get mad, but what can I do about that? I want them to get angry, but I want them to get angry that they've been lied to. And that's why I wrote this book. So it's a whole different spirit that from the rapture will be canceled. Then after that, then they should read The Rapture Will Be Canceled so they can catch up on the eschatology. Then they should read, you know, The Last Prophecy and The Key to the Apocalypse. All of those. So, Cindy, that's for you. So sign up, get that, ask me for, when you sign up for the free book, say, I want When the Third Temple is Built, and you can share it with your friends, you know, free. Absolutely free. And you can share the link with your friends so they can sign up and get it too, whichever way you want to do it. But if you got family members, you want to reach them directly, send them the link that I send you. That's fine with me. You all have license from me to do that. So anyway, I hope that helps, Cindy, because like I said, those people that you want to reach, that you So, and immersed in the gap theory, I'm struggling for a way that won't throw up their defenses and let them at least be willing to listen. And that's what I write in the on the back of the book, and also as the author's the author's prologue. So you want to read that there. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to jump into that lecture, the practical use of the book of the Revelation. So you don't want to miss that. Come on back and we're going to take a little break, some news, and get yourself a cup of coffee, and come on back and join me.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, Don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the Left Behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I'm Nicholas. And today, I'm going to jump into the practical use of the Book of Revelation. Practical use of the Book of Revelation. And these are a series of lectures that were done by H. Grant Hanguinies. And I've updated the language a little bit and made some corrections, grammatical and typo corrections here, so I can put this on the screen and read it cohesively for you. And so this is, lecture number one in the practical use of the Book of Revelation. Let me put this on the screen for you. And if you're in the chat room, there's a little screen in the right-hand column, a little picture screen, where you can actually see me with my, what's going on my screen. If you didn't know that, maybe you're just listening to the audio, but you can actually look at what I'm live streaming over my YouTube live stream there and see whatever exhibits or my face, if you can take it, my face on screen. Anyway, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who have they overcome? That spirit of Antichrist, those that are controlled by that spirit of Antichrist. He says, little children, you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's 1 John 4:3-4. 1. The primary practical object of the apocalypse is to guide the church victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Bible opens with defeat. It ends with victory. At its outset, man fallen, Satan triumphant. At its close, Satan conquered, all his world powers overthrown, and the redeemed, with the Redeemer, crowned victorious and glorified. At the close of his earthly life, looking back over its temptations and conflicts, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. In the beginning of his risen life, exalted and endowed with all power in heaven and earth, he went forth leading his church, conquering and to conquer. In his heaven-sent message to the churches, which he left as his witness on earth, all the inestimable rewards of his kingdom are promised to him that overcometh. In the prophetic visions which succeed these messages, tracing the gradual subjugation of all things to Christ, the conflicts, sufferings, and victories, and final glories of Christ's saintly followers are described. This is the theme of the prophecy, and its object is practical. It was a gift to the church militant from Christ triumphant. The Son of God had overcome the world. The sons of God were now to overcome it. Faith was to make them victorious. They were to conquer their visible foes by faith in things invisible. All the powers of the world were to be arrayed against them. They were to be hated, persecuted, hunted into dens and deserts, cast into dungeons and flames. Yet they were to conquer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who spoke that triumphant word? A lonely exile, a persecuted and banished saint, an apostle. And when? In the days of proud Domitian, master of the world, in the time of pagan Rome's supremacy. How calmly he writes in his letter of love to his little children. There is no flourish of trumpets, simply the clear note of victory. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And so Christ led his church to the battlefield. Calmly and unflinchingly he conducts them with open eyes into the deadly arena of their warfare. They are to fight with beasts in the Colosseum, to be driven into the darkness of the catacombs, to die under the worst tortures pitiless Rome can inflict. They are later on to contend with worse enemies than heathen Rome. They are to fight with the powers of hell in the apostate church, which should succeed the throne of the Caesars. The harlot Babylon was to be drunken with their blood, yet they were to overcome, and the victors were to stand on the sea of glass mingled with fire, having the harps of God. No music so lofty as theirs, no song more glad and glorious, followers of the Lamb, of him who died on Calvary's cross, the conqueror and savior of the world. To nerve such warriors, to arm them for battle, to conduct them to victory, the revelation was written. He who has not grasped this salient fact has missed the meaning of the prophecy, not to satisfy curiosity as to the future was this wondrous prophecy indicted, nor merely to close the sacred volume, to bind its several portions into unity as with a golden clasp, nor was it written to complete the book by shedding the glories of sunset, or rather of sunrise, over its concluding pages, to fill its last skies with splendor, with the light of the rising of a morning without clouds, the advent of a world where sin and sorrow and death can never come. Not for these ends, though doubtless they were contemplated, but for nobler purposes, to form the characters, guide the steps, maintain the faith, and inspire the courage of those who were to pass through the flood and flame to that final world of glory and immortality, to make the saints and martyrs who were to share in its triumphs and wear its crowns. And hence, the glorious rewards promised to the seven churches in the seven letters with which it opens, letters purely practical in their object, are largely the theme of the succeeding prophecy. For in it the selfsame rewards are seen and set forth in their most glowing colors, in their true and proper relations, their place and time and circumstance, for the contemplation of the servants of Christ, that they may behold in advance the things promised, and the future would become as real to them as the present, as seen with the open eye of vision, so that the confessors might witness the presence of Rome's Caesars, standing all the while in spirit before the throne of God, or tread their way amid the awful shadows of the catacombs, as beholding the golden streets of the New Jerusalem, yea, to open heaven itself, to gaze and contemplation, to the gaze and contemplation of God's pilgrim people with this prophecy given, that their conversation or citizenship might be there, even while they wandered as strangers amid earth's transient and troubled scenes. And that, while journeying or warring on earth, they might be seated in heaven, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. And turning now to those practical letters which preface the Apocalypse, we review the promised rewards which are held forth to him that overcometh. First, to the victors of the church of Ephesus, it is promised that they shall eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Behold then the promised tree of life in the vision of the prophecy, bearing 12 manners of fruits, whose leaves are for the healing of the nation, of the nations. See it there in its true location, growing by the river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Secondly, to the victors of the martyr church of Smyrna, the crown of life is promised. And the revealing Spirit adds, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. But what that second death, and for whom destined? The prophecy replies, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Death and Hades, it tells us, are to be finally cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. To the church of Thyatira, the promise runs, to him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. In the prophecy, the shivering of the nations as the vessels of a potter with a rod of iron is portrayed. A woman clothed with the sun and crowned with 12 stars brings forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The man-child is caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman flees to the wilderness from the presence of the persecuting dragon. Later on, the all-conquering Word of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes with the white-robed armies of heaven to judge and to make war, to smite the nations of the world, to smite the nations with the sword of his mouth, and rule them with a rod of iron. Even he whose voice declares, I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. To the church of Sardis, which had a name to live and was dead, the command, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, is followed by the warning, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And the promise, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. In the prophecy, the thing promised is beheld. The bride of the Lamb is seen, in her purity and perfection, arrayed in fine linen, arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And at the final judgment, the book of life is open, while those who enter the New Jerusalem are only they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. To the church of Philadelphia, the encouraging promise is given, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. In the vision of the prophecy, the New Jerusalem is seen descending out of heaven, having the glory of God. Her walls, her gates, her streets, her foundations are all described. Her beauty and her glory fill the bright closing vision. And of him who is called faithful and true, it is declared, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, analogous with that secret name which we will yet write upon the victor's brow. To the degenerate church of Laodicea, boasting herself rich and increased with goods and needing nothing, not knowing that she was wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, after the gracious offering of tried gold and white raiment and healing eye salve, Jesus declares his long-suffering love and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, promising to the individual soul that opens to him the supper of his own personal and private fellowship, and promising further, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. And in the succeeding prophecy, the glorious reward thus promised is beheld. For there are seen the victor saints enthroned with the Lord, first in his millennial kingdom, and then in his eternal reign. These relations of the prophetic visions of the Apocalypse to the hortatory letters addressed in its opening pages to the Christian churches reveal the practical character of the prophecy and the important practical uses which the church, under the Spirit's guidance, has made of the prophecy during the last 19 centuries is in a confirmation of its intended adaptation to practical ends. First, the martyr church of the second and third centuries armed herself for conflict with heathen Rome with the weapons drawn from the arsenal of the Apocalypse. To her, heathen Rome, seated on the seven hills, was the apocalyptic Babylon, drunken with the blood of the saints and martyrs. Every feature of Rome's character and history she saw delineated in the prophecy in bold outlines and vivid colors, her place, her power, her wealth, her wickedness, her doom. And the martyrs of those days beheld the exact picture of their experience in the slain beneath the altar portrayed in the prophecy, whose blood called for vengeance, a vengeance delayed, but to come at last when in Babylon, the smoke of whose judgment would go up forever, the blood of prophets and of saints and of all those who were slain upon the earth should be found. Secondly, on occasion of the fall of persecuting heathen Rome, the early church of the fourth century recognized the prediction of that great event in the vision of the Apocalypse and celebrated in the triumphant language of the prophecy and commemorated it in symbols drawn from that sacred source. To the newly liberated, exultant church, the fall of heathen Rome was none other than that represented The fall of heathen Rome was none other than that represented by the casting down of the great red dragon, who sought to devour the man-child destined to rule all nations with a rod of iron. As predicted, the victory had been that of Christ and his martyr followers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The triumphant song of the church ascended in the apocalyptic words, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." The coins of Constantine the Great bear witness to the use of the symbol of the dragon prostrate beneath the cross to commemorate the overthrow of the dominion of ancient heathen Rome. Truly, the overthrow of the Roman Empire by the Gothic invaders, which followed, and especially the burning of the city of Rome by Alaric in the year 410, led Augustine to write his noble book on the City of God, a book whose central conception is drawn from the Apocalypse, in which the two societies of the world, and the people of God are represented by the harlot city Babylon and the bride, the New Testament, Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. Augustine recognized Rome as Babylon and devotes a large part of his work to the delineation of its character and history. On the other hand, he dwells with long, loving appreciation on the past, present, and future of the Society of Saints, the City of God. That city, which has, unlike Rome, enduring foundations. The work of Augustine defended the church, whose views it illustrates, from the accusation that it was the cause of the woes which had befallen the empire, and gave popularity and permanence to a conception of the relation of the society of the world to the society of saints, in striking harmony with the teachings of the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. And so that's lecture one, as you can see. Lecture two, we're going to do that next week. And for the next segment of our broadcast here, let me put my face back on the screen here in full view of everyone. And that was definitely worth sharing. I hope everyone agrees and was able to take that in. And, of course, I'm going to post that by itself and do this as a series. And so that'll be posted later today. But this broadcast will be available right away in the little player there on the chat page. Okay? So if you want anyone to see it, they have to come to the chat page and watch it on that little player, because it's not going to be available anywhere else. Okay? Until I repost it, because I'm going to edit it and repost it later today. But I'm very busy. And like I said, I'm here at First Amendment Radio all by myself. And I will be for a while. I've got Michael Eugene is coming to help out with the ministry. God, he said, has directed him to come here and help me. So, and he's been in, I believe, in the chat room before, but he's been a supporter of mine for quite a while. And so he's found himself in a predicament where he can move here and help me out. So we're going to start, and I'm going to have some help here coming next month. So I want you all to pray for me, for the ministry here, and pray for Michael. And I'm continually praying every day for Michael and for the ministry work that we're going to do together, that we'll be able to work together and do those things that God has called us to do. And some exciting things that I feel like the Spirit has moved me to do. And because I've looked for it, I can't find a Protestant historicist Bible college anywhere. And I feel like the Spirit is moving me to start the first Protestant historicist Bible college right here. And so, and what am I going to call it? Well, I'm going to call it Cross the Border. Yeah, Cross the Border Bible College. That's it. Because we want, I mean, primary, first, before everything else, it is so important that we obey the gospel message and we repent and we walk in the kingdom of God and we walk that road in repentance, the narrow way that leads to life, and we endure to the end of our mortality so that we can be saved for eternity. And it's going to be great. We'll talk more about that. Your phone calls, comments, questions when we return.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Back. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to talk about it. I got this idea, I don't know, it was a while ago, and about there not being a Protestant historicist Bible college. So, like, you know, if God is moving you, say you have administrative, you know, educational, administrative skills, I might need you here. God may send you here to help me build this Protestant historicist Bible college. Because my idea is kind of crazy, and some people think, what kind of college is that? But my idea is to have a college that supports itself, okay? And we support ourselves through everyone has to work, right? So you got to work like maybe 4 hours a day to support yourself in your stay, and to but the idea is to set up organic gardening methodology where we can grow a lot of food in a small space, that kind of thing. So if you have that kind of skill And we want to use that not only to support ourselves, but to feed ourselves. And so that we have skills that we can take with us when we go out, when people are sent out into the world or in the mission field from this college, they have a true skill that they can help people to work and grow their own food organically. That's kind of a crazy idea. People that at Bible college where you work and you acquire other skills like how to grow your own food. And of course we have other skills you'll be learning, like how to publish. We have cross the border publishing, which some people will work in that. We have publishing media. We want to publish videos too. And like I said, so there'll be lots of work for everyone everywhere. And all of these things will help to bring money into the college so that we can continue the mission. And, of course, it's going to take a lot of money to get this thing off the ground. But, hey, I don't have it, but I know someone who does. God has it. And now, see, she wants to sit on my lap. That's why she's not allowed in the studio when I'm doing a broadcast. She's got to be right in the middle of everything. And, yeah. That's Frady Cat. Maddie is not listening. Otherwise, I'd tell her to come over and get this cat. Anyway, I got a place over there for her to sit. It's too hot for her to sit on my lap. Especially when I have to talk for 2 hours. For some reason, that really makes me work up a heat, man. Anyway, is James laughing at the cat, right? If James was here, I'd have... He knows. Put that cat out. But what can I do? Take another break and throw her outside. Anyway, yeah, I need a chute or something. I can just open up and let her slide outside. Anyway, back to the college. So that's what I want to do. And I'm going to do this thing one way or another because I feel like the Spirit is moving me to do it. So I've got the property, and this property is already in trust for God's work. It is. And, yeah. So if anyone's interested in that or interested in helping out, because I'm going to have to build some kind of campus, some kind of quarters here. We got to set up we're going to have a fodder operation to, you know, grow so much grass-fed beef. And we got to have, you know, other operations going on to where we can work and do this thing. So there'd be plenty of opportunity here. If someone's willing to get in here on the ground floor and help me get this thing off the ground, so to speak. So I got one taker, Michael Eugene. James may come back. I don't know. But if he wants to get here and be part of First Amendment Radio and Cross the Border Ministries, he's going to have to come here because there's nothing keeping him in New York if he's going to be doing that here. Otherwise, God has something for him in New York, I'm sure. Let's see. What else we got? Yeah. And we need more people here during the broadcast. If you go to my website, I send out, if you're subscribed to me, if you're in the chat room, you're not subscribed to my blog, those few people that are in there. Well, shame on you. Subscribe to my blog because before each broadcast, I send out a post about an hour before each broadcast saying I'm going on the air. And then you can forward that post to someone else so that they'll join us in the chat room so we can get more people in here and get the word out. Because a lot of people are in for a great disappointment when the third temple starts to be built. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. So there you have it. And people need to be apprised of exactly what that means. So we need to get them over here. We need to wake up the elect so that they aren't going, where's a rapture, man? And you know, for most of those people, because if you get into the Revelation, you're going to realize that like Paul, when he wrote about the revealing of the man of sin, that the restrainer would be taken out of the way and the man of sin would, well, that's a historical event, okay? That happened a long time ago. The man of sin was revealed and the reformers saw him. And that's why they wrote about him. And that's why there was a Protestant Reformation. And then, of course, the subsequent Counter-Reformation really kicked off by the Jesuits and especially the Jesuit Ribera, who laid the foundation of futurism. And he said, here, evangelicals, build on this, anything. The Pope is not the Antichrist, but he's some guy who's going to come off in the future. Run with it, dudes. And they ran with it, let me tell you. And a lot of Jesuits and others, evangelicals, they all jumped in and helped build on the wall of false prophecy. So that's where most of the visible church is today. And speaking of the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, before Paul wrote that, he wrote about the temple of God. Yeah, in his epistles, he wrote about the temple of God. He didn't say it would be rebuilt. He said, you are the temple of God. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God? He expressly told us that we, the church, we are the temple of God. So when he wrote about the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, he was writing about the man of sin sitting in the heart of the visible church, saying that he was the visible expression of God on earth, the vicar of Christ. He was the man of sin. He was taking Christ's place as mediator between you and God. He was interposing himself as another mediator, not Christ seated at the right hand of God, but an antichrist, a pseudo-Christ, the vicar of Christ, because that's actually what antichrist means, vicar, in place of. That's what vicar means, in place of. Yeah. Pseudo-antichrist sitting in the hearts and minds of men, taking the place of God. That's what Paul is writing about in context. From Paul's own words, he expresses, and I write about that in my book, when the third temple is built. You'll find it there for free if you want. Or you can buy this book for $10.99 in a pocketbook edition. That's this little size edition. Yeah, it's there. Go to the Get the Book page, scroll all the way down to the bottom and find that pocketbook edition link there, and pick all four of those volumes up for about $40. What a deal, man. Yes, we were all deceived. I was deceived by dispensational futurism, counter-reformation dispensational futurism. And that's where it was birthed, and that's where it began. So, most of the people in the outer court, that's where most of the church is. And Jesus even talked about it. Matthew chapter 7, you can read all about it. He talks about the few and the many in the world at large. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and that is where the many in the world at large are going. And there's a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And later in the same chapter, he gets down to, and he puts his focus on the church. And he said, many will come, the many of the church, the visible church on earth. Many will come to me in that day and say, well, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Wasn't I a good Christian? Jesus is my Lord. He was my Lord. He called me Lord. He says, but I'm going to say to them that those many, he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Yeah. So he says, even the many, you know, first we had the macrocosm, the world at large, the many on the broad way to destruction. Then he focuses on the church, which is a fraction of that macrocosm. Now he's looking at the church, the visible church in the earth. And he says, even the many of the visible church on earth don't even know me. I don't know you. You don't know me. We have no relationship. You're professing Christianity. That's the outer court. That's the vision in the book of Revelation, where you have the temple seats. That's what the scene is. It's a scene. It's a picture of the church, the temple of God. That's taught to us throughout the Jesus said, my body is the temple. And the only thing, other thing he said about the temple, other than his body being a temple, was that the temple was going to be destroyed. He prophesied its destruction. So we have in the epistles, Paul explaining that we, the church, we are the temple of God. That he dwells in us. So when the man of sin sits in the temple of God, he's not sitting in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. He's sitting in the hearts and minds of men and controlling them and keeping them from the truth. He is the man of sin. He's usurping the place of the true Messiah. Because you are the temple of God. Know you not that you are the temple of God, that God dwells in you, that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Come into the inner court. Leave the outer court to the Gentile unbelievers. That's the Gentiles in the outer court. That's a picture of the unbelievers. It's a picture we get from National Jerusalem. The National Israel. Israel was God's national people, physical representation of the kingdom of God on earth. And all of those other nations, Jesus says that we're not to be like the Gentiles. We're not to be like the other nations. We are a holy nation. Set apart from the world. We are in the inner court. We know Him and He knows us. That's right. Well, you know, I was taught a lot of errant things, and in my early Christian years, up until about 20 years ago, when I decided that the pre-tribulation rapture, because that's when I started teaching the Bible, and I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to teach this pre-tribulation, if I'm going to teach the rapture, I better find it in the Bible first. That's where I ran into problems, because I couldn't find it. And so, could not find it. You know, James, it hurts me, he says too, because I try to preach to my family and no one understands. Well, you know, I think that's what Jesus said. No, I'm not going to say it. I mean, it was offensive when he said it. I mean, I know I would have been offended, but he said, let the dead bury the dead. And there are a lot of walking dead out there. But, you know, just keep preaching to them. You know, send them material. That's all you can do. And you know, pray for their resurrection that they'll be born again. Because that's basically, when we're born again, we're resurrected spiritually. And then we have to walk in His kingdom. We have to stay in His kingdom. You can't depart out of His kingdom. Yeah. So it's called the gospel of the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, repent. For the kingdom is at hand. That's truly the gospel of the kingdom. There's a lot of other gospels out there. There's gospels. But the gospel of the kingdom is the true one that Jesus preached. So, very important that we understand the gospel of the kingdom. And that's another... And my next book is going to be simply called Across the Border. Yes, it's working in my mind right now. First, it'll work in my mind for about 6 months, but once I start writing it, it should pour out. I mean, this is a book I've been living for 20 years, and about the kingdom of God, and it'll be across the border. I will not expect it to reach the popularity of these apostate books out there, like what Generations, Kevin Swanson was talking about, The Shack. And then A Talk with Jesus or something. Two books that have sold like 60 million copies of apostate Christianity. People buy into that. Well, that's because the outer court is huge. That, you know, people look at, oh, well, you ain't popular. It's because Jesus, you know, because you're not doing it right. No. If I was catering to the outer court, I could be popular. Yeah, all I'd have to do is, you know, compromise. There's temptations there, and we're all tempted with those type of things. Trouble is, most people fall for the temptation. Yeah. Most people fall for the temptation. And that's where all of your popular, not all of them, but most of them are. And there's even a lot of, you know, futurists that I really admire their work. There's a lot of them out there. It's true. Yeah. And some of them are relatively popular. They're not, you know, and they're big. But they're holding to futurism. Oh, let them let go of that futurism and watch their popularity go because the outer court has bought hook, line, and sinker. Controlled by guess who? The whore that rides the beast basically controls the outer court. Yes, behind the scenes, she's learned her lessons well. She knows how to run her counter-reformation, and the dragon gives her her power. And she is in control of the outer court, the majority of the visible church on earth. That's bad news, but the good news is this. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Cross the border into his kingdom and live forever. There's absolutely nothing more important than that. We'll see you next time.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.